Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. He is God over all things. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, sometimes life can be heavy. Sometimes life has burdens and trials and tribulations. But this morning, let's focus on the answer to all of our problems, and that is Jesus Christ. God sent forth his Son to give us liberty, to give us peace in storms, to give us the answers to questions that are very difficult. Why do certain things happen? Why does pain and suffering happen in this world? But it's in the pain and suffering that we identify the love and the peace and the hope of Jesus Christ. So this morning, let's sell out everything we have to knowing Jesus, to knowing him and worshiping him, for he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So church, let's just not sit back. Let's engage in truth and spirit. Let's worship him with everything we have, because when we worship him, we gain the victory. We gain the high ground on our situation. So let's worship him in the understanding that he solved our problems, he's won the battle, and we have victory in him. Amen? Let's worship the Lord this morning. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we sing of your goodness. Lord, we sing of your faithfulness. Lord, we declare your will over our lives. Lord, we declare your goodness to us. When you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, it's not just words, it is truth. It's what binds us together with you, that your love transcends our own weakness, our own sinful nature, where we fall short. Your love, your perfect love, sets us free from all fear. Lord, we embrace your love this morning. Lord, we embrace that tangible presence of who you are. Lord, as we go into, Lord, the word, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to your word. Let it be your truth and not my truth, Lord. Let it always be about you. Lord, bless everyone here this morning. Lord, bless their families. Bless them mentally, physically, and spiritually. Restore them, Lord, if they need restored. Energize them, Lord, if they need energy. Lord, and show them the vision before them that's before us as a church family. As we move forward in this new season, we know greater things are ahead than what is behind us. And as we strive forward to you, Lord, give us the strength and the vision to see what you have for us. For we know all things work together for our good to those who love you. Lord, and we love you this morning. Lord, bring everything together before us in your precious and holy name. Amen. If this is your first time visiting, my name is Josh Clevenger. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's great to have you in the house of the Lord. It's great to have you amongst us. We want you to feel like this is your home, and that when you come into the way LBK, you're walking into your church home, and this is your church family. So we want to make sure you feel loved, welcome, and accepted in the perfect love of Jesus Christ. And you've picked the best church in all of Lubbock, amen? We got the best people around, and as you grow with us, you will see we have the most loving people in the hub city. It was great to have you in the house of the Lord as we continue our series, Jesus Asking. I want to start with a quote this morning. And this quote is just so powerful. It tells us so much about God. It says, God's love tells us that he desires us for himself, and that his desire is the beginning of our restoration. God's love restores us. It gets us back to the place where we have intimacy, we have fellowship with God. What was lost in the first Adam was gained in the second Adam, because the scripture tells us God doesn't just love, he is love. That is a part of who he is, and we love him because he first loved us. Just imagine that. When you were at your worst, he loved you first. And God's love doesn't change. It is constant, it's the same, and it's there for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That's the definition of God's love. And it's in that love we find his restoration. We find his peace. And we get connected back to the source of all peace and perfection. The creator of all things, God himself, has placed us into his family through Jesus Christ. And if we look at the word restore in the Greek, simply means return something to its original condition to reestablish. God's love has restored us back to fellowship, relationship with Jesus Christ. And no matter where you've messed up, where you've fallen short, I'm going to show you this morning that God's love restores us back to that connection and fellowship with him. Trust me, I tried to run from God. I tried to do everything I could to dirty myself up and say, Lord, see, I'm a sinner. I'm unusable. I'm not talented. You can't use me for your kingdom. And every excuse I gave, he simply ignored me and loved me more. And he brought me back in. And that love, it erases all wrongdoing. And we become something new that we haven't been before. So I want to look at some of the people in the Bible that we revere, even call saints, and how they messed up and how the love of the Lord restored them. So let's go to John 21:15-17. As we see here, Jesus' interaction with Peter, as we know, Peter denied Christ three times. Jesus told Peter, I don't even know what I said. Peter. He told Peter, you will deny me three times. Before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. Peter's like, no, I will never do that. I will never leave you. But he did, and he ran in shame. But that wasn't the end of Peter's story. Something else happened. We see here the restoration of Peter. And this is the interaction with him and Jesus. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Talking about the other disciples. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. He was vexed because he had told him three times, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So this seems like a strange interaction between Peter and Jesus. But what Jesus was doing, every time Peter denied him with his mouth, three times, he confessed his love to Jesus, that it erased what Peter had done. And then even more, what Jesus was doing, he was pulling him into a deeper understanding of love. Because Peter was loving him with the same love that he walked away from him. He denied him. But Jesus was inviting him into a deeper love that cannot be broken. And this love is called agape love. And this is the love God has for us. And in this agape love, it is unconditional, sacrificial love. It's the highest form of love. It's love based on commitment and the will, not just emotion. What if we all loved each other in agape love? What if we all shared that love with each other? What if we all experienced that love from God and is there for us? So God's love is unconditional, sacrificial. It's the highest form of love. It's a love based on commitment in his will, not just our emotions. So God doesn't love us one moment and then we do something wrong and he falls out of love with us. His love is never ending. Doesn't have limits. He loves us despite our own failures. Amen? That's the good news. See, we love each other in a conditional type of love. We can hurt each other that makes us fall out of love, fall out of fellowship, fall out of friendship. Amen? But that's earthly love, conditional love. Unconditional love only flows from the Father, and it cannot be broken. It cannot be damaged. He loves us despite ourselves, despite our insecurities, despite our flaws. God's love transcends us. And this was the love Jesus was pulling Peter into. He said, I know you love me like a brother, but love me in this agape love that we form a bond that cannot be broken. That we form a bond that you will die for me, Peter, as I died for you. And Peter received that love. And we know Peter's story. He taught the gospel. He was used mightily of God. People would put the sick in his shadow and they would be healed. Just think about that. The same Peter that ran and cut off the guard's ear and did all these things wrong, they were lining up the sick to touch his shadow that the sick may be healed. And it wasn't anything Peter did special. It was the love he received that transformed him into this unmovable vessel of the Lord. So this morning, I want to go into these stories and go into this to see the different areas where God's love restores us and brings us back. So let's go to Luke chapter 15, verses 20 and 24. Are you with me this morning, church? God's love is so powerful. He restores us. God's love restores the one who rebels. How many of us have rebelled against something? Amen. How many of us rebelled against God? Amen. We've all rebelled. And it's human instinct to feel like, well, once we do something wrong, then we have to earn our way back to the same place we were before with God. But that's not so. Here's the beauty of the story. As we know the story of the prodigal son who took his inheritance and went into the world and blew it all on partying and doing all these things. And then when he ran out of money, all his friends left and he found himself in the pig pen with nothing else. Then he realized, you know, my father's servants have it better than I have it. I'm going to go ask and beg if I can be just a servant in his house. And here is the response we see in the story told by Jesus. And he rose and came to his father. So the prodigal son is returning. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See, back then, a man didn't run. It was undignified. But he ran to him and embraced him. Verse 21 says, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I've been there. Amen. I've been there. Lord, I've sinned. I've messed up. I'm not worthy to be loved by you. I'm not worthy to be in your family anymore. And we're all looking for that rejection. Amen. We're all looking for God to say, nope, you've sinned beyond repair. Go away from me. We're all looking for that because we all want in some way to run from him. Because when you're in front of a holy, pure God, your sins are revealed, the scripture says. But God doesn't turn us away. He does something special for us. As we see here in verse 22, he says, but he negates everything that son thought. But the father said to his servants, but quickly, the best robe. Get the best robe. And he put it on him. And he gave him a ring. He put it on his hand and shoes on his feet. He says, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. And they begin to celebrate. That's what heaven does. When we come back to the Father, heaven celebrates. When we come to the Father for the first time, heaven celebrates. You know what he does when we sin and we get in the pig pen and we're dirty in our transgressions, we're dirty in our sins, and we feel like no one can love us? He cleans us off. He puts his robe of righteousness on us. He's put his ring on us. And he crowns us with his crown. He puts his shoes on us and says, let's celebrate. For you are restored. What a beautiful example of the Father's agape love towards us. You know, as a father, I want my kids to know that no matter what they do, I will still love them and accept them. That the love that I have for them cannot be broken by mistakes. Now, there's times where you have to, you know, slap them upside the head, right? Amen? As my parents did to me. But it's the love that your kids will remember. It's the love we remember. It's the love, the scripture says, that binds us together. Are we walking in that love? Are we experiencing that love? And are we sharing that love with each other? Because I tell you, church, there is nothing better than feeling God's love in your life. When we open that up and share it with those around us, the love grows and manifests. We can never outlove God. And the more we love, the more we feel his love. Amen? So God restores the one who rebels. Secondly, God restores the sinner. We go to Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12. We know the story of David. David sinned against God. He had an affair. And then he had the husband of the wife he had an affair with killed in battle, as he told his commanders, take him to the front line, and when the enemy engages, withdraw. And he was killed, and he was slain. Just think about that. David, the king, had an affair, took someone else's wife for himself, and had the husband killed, and went on with his life until Nathan the prophet came and said, hey, David, you sinned against God. And David went into mourning. And this is the cry of his heart. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. We know God dealt with David's sin, but God did not take the kingdom from him in his life. God did not destroy him. God restored him in his love. The scripture says that David had a heart after the Lord, but David still messed up. Amen. He still sinned. He still fell short. We will all fall short of the glory of God, but it's the love that restores us back to a relationship and back to where we're supposed to be with David. It says here in the scripture that brother, if anyone is caught in any sin, transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Church, what if we took this scripture, to heart, and when someone sinned against us, we restored them. We loved them. When someone fell in front of us, we picked them up, cleaned them off, and said, let's keep going. But we live in a culture when someone falls, we want to point and look. We want to judge and say, look at that person. Look at their sin. But that's not how God loves operate. God's love restores the sinner back to righteousness. Amen? What if all churches operated in the way God meant it to be, where even if we mess up, God still loves us. And even if we sin against each other, which we will, we forgive each other, and relationships are never lost because we keep loving, we keep forgiving, amen? How many relationships have we lost because we refuse to forgive? Amen? I've been there. How many people have walked away because we couldn't love them? We were so consumed with self, we couldn't see the hurting they had. As Paul says, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The life we are living is no longer for ourselves, it's for our neighbor. Amen? It's for our children, it's for our wife, it's for our loved ones. The life I'm living is no longer to please self, it's to please him. And what pleases him is to love. is to love each other. That's what makes the house of God special, because when you walk in, there is no judgment. Amen. And I know, I've been in churches in this town and other towns where you walked in and you didn't feel the love. It felt awkward, it felt strange. But church, it will not be that here, amen? We're going to love you. Even if you don't want to be loved, we're still going to love you. Even if you don't want a hug, we're going to give you a hug, amen? Because the love of God is so powerful, it breaks down those walls that separate us from each other and separate us from him. God restores the sinner. You say, "Why? You know, I'm dirty, I'm not clean." We still love you, amen? So God didn't love you at your best. God loves you at your worst, the scripture says. When we were at our worst, he died for our sins. Religion says, do this better, clean yourself up, then God will accept you. The gospel, salvation says, come as you are, and he will transform you as you get closer to him. Lastly, you know, there's more. I challenge you, go in scripture. There's infinite number of examples of God's love restoring. But I just wanted to give you a few this morning. We see God's love restores hope and joy. Isaiah 61:7. See, this is spoken to the children of Israel, but through Abraham and through Christ, now we are in that promise. Amen? It says, instead of your shame, there will be double portion. Instead of your dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in the land they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. He shall turn what is against us for us. And he shall take our shame and turn it to honor. In this example, I want to use a woman we knew back in Illinois at Grace Bible Church. Her name is Jenny Farr. And we pastored there long, long ago. But I remember meeting her family. I remember when I would talk to her, there was a sadness over her. And I would preach, and you know, in the sermons, I would look through the crowd, and she would be down, her head would be down. There's always a sadness. And that sadness came from because they couldn't have children. Her and her husband couldn't have children. She couldn't even hold another child because she would break down and cry. There was a constant sadness and depression she was battling every single day. While we were there, her and her husband tried for the last time to get pregnant, and it didn't work. And they were devastated. They were in mourning. Her and her husband, the parents, they were in mourning, and they just didn't understand why it didn't happen, why going the medical route didn't produce a child. And I remember one Sunday, it was a couple weeks later, I was preaching a sermon, and the mother-in-law was there, and the Lord said, I want you to speak to her. I want you to say that it's not over, that they will have a child, and it's going to come in an unusual way. And I was like, whoa, whoa, Lord. These people are mourning, they're trying to get over this, and you want me to tell them to hope again? You want me to say something that I don't even know where these words are going to go? And I was struggling with the Lord all the whole message. And finally I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. Because the Lord has a way of making you submit. Because I was losing train of thought. I couldn't think. And I turned to her and I in the middle of the message, and I said, this is what the Lord says. And I said, okay, Lord. And I stepped out in faith. You know, if they run me out of town in a month or so, okay, it's not on me. A couple of weeks later, her doctor called and said, there's this young woman that is pregnant about 8 or 9 months, and she wants to give her child up for adoption. And I think you and your husband would be perfect. And if she chooses you, you don't have to go through all the adoption process. You don't have to pay in all this money. If she chooses you, the baby's yours. So they met with the young mother, and they instantly clicked. She had the child. There was some, you know, there was some trepidation because the mother could have changed her mind the whole time. Until she handed over the baby, she could have changed her mind. But everything went smoothly. She handed over the baby, and they had a child. And I saw hope and joy restored to her. I've never seen a more happier person, a more restored person, that the Lord restored hope and joy to her and to her family. You know, a couple, I think it was around COVID, you know, I kept, you know, after we moved, we kept in contact with the family because they, you know, they were just so joyful, and we, there was, it was such a great thing that the Lord allowed us to be a part of. So around COVID, I heard from the mother-in-law that she was sick. The mother was sick. Jenny was sick with cancer. And I reached out to her. We talked. And I remember the last conversation we had, she was so joyful. She was so, her cancer didn't even matter. And she passed away. And I remember praying, saying, Lord, this is not the ending I thought you would give. But the Lord let me see it from a different perspective. He fulfilled her desire to be a mother before her death. She gave this child a loving family around her, around this child. Ella is her name. And even though they were heartbroken in the heartache, the hope and joy still remains in them. And this story forever changed me because I realized God cares for us so much that he is willing to break down all the walls to reach us and to show us his love. This morning, you may be the one on the outside. You may be the one feeling and thinking, you know, I haven't really experienced this agape love. You know, I wasn't loved as a child. I faced this or that or the other. But God's love wants to reach you this morning. His love wants to transform you and bring you into a relationship that transcends your understanding of what love is. This world, the enemy has perverted God's love. And it's the love of this world takes away. It takes. It only has the illusion of giving. It only has the illusion of acceptance. It only has the illusion of fulfillment. That's what sin is. Sin is the illusion of pleasure and fulfillment. But God's love breaks all those rules of the world has set. It loves you. God's love is unconditional. It's perfect. It meets you where you're at, and it pulls you out of your despair, and it accepts you for who you are. It highlights how special you are to the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ died for each one of you this morning, and if it would have just been you, he would have done it. If he just would have died for a handful, he would have done it. If it would have just been us, he would have done it. Because his love transcends our understanding of what love should be. It multiplies and it gives us hope. So this morning, I'm going to pray and close us in prayer. But I'm going to be here at the altar. And if you need prayer for anything, it could be a physical ailment, could be spiritual ailment, or you want to connect with this love, I'm here to pray with you and to stand with you. Because God's love is so important, he wants to find you this morning. He wants to speak to you this morning, and he wants you to know that you mean more to him than you can ever possibly know. You know, sometimes that love gets lost and we get in despair, but his love pulls us out of despair and gives us purpose. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, pour out your love to your people this morning. Pour out your love to them. Let them feel this change that happens when we surrender and submit to you. The perfect love that casts out all fear. Lord, I remember being a child, being so scared of the dark, but it's not strength that casts out fear, it's your perfect love that casts out fear. And the scripture says, if we fear, then we haven't tasted that perfect love. Lord, because when we're in your presence, nothing else negative can be. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning that they taste and see that you are good and that you come into that place where you are at, where all fear, all pain, all heartache leaves. You are our strong tower in which we run to you. In the midst of the storm, you are at peace, you're the calm. Lord, and we trust in you in all things, in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Church, if you need prayer, I will be here, standing at the front, waiting to see what God has for you. Amen. His love restores. And church, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and pretend the person you see was the person that always was. No, I rebelled against God. I was a preacher's kid. The last thing I wanted to do was be a pastor, as I tell you over and over again. But I tell you over and over again because I don't want to take any credit for who I am today. It's all God. Because he took someone who was insecure, who was lost in himself, lost in sin, and he transformed him into something that I could have never done before. That's what his love does. It transforms us into something we could not do ourselves. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You may think you're so far away from God's love. You're only one thought, one word away from receiving it this morning. Amen? You're never far away. Church, God has big things for this church. Amen? Amen. We have a vision. We're not a church that's dead. We're a church that's moving forward and growing. New seasons come. But guess what? What's ahead is great. And what's going to propel us there is love. It's his love. Amen? So this week, I want you to find someone to love. I want you to find someone to pour out God's love to and pull them to church. Amen? Like I say sometimes, we have church every Sunday. That's what we do. It's what we love to do. And we want you here with us. So pull someone to church. If this was your first time, We love you. We hope to see you again. Amen. The church family, find the people that's their first time. Talk to them, love them, and let them know they're welcome. Because Sundays are better together. They're better with you. We'll see you again next Sunday. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.